Welcome to the 116th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can high-five the person next to you and shout, "Yes, I'm in." Okay, so let's assume for the moment that you're interested in education, you're a medical school student, you're interested in business, you have experience working for a venture capital firm that provides early stage funding for biomedical companies. What do you really, really do? Well, if you're Adele Yang, who's our guest for today, you'll launch a startup to help pre-meds, nursing students, and medical students master the fire hose of knowledge, information, and data they need for the MCAT, their courses, the nursing licensing exam, medical school, and the medical licensing exams. Let's meet Adele, I just mentioned him a minute ago, the brand new physician who is also the co-founder and president of Picmonic, the visual learning community. Adele learned a dual degree BS, BA in molecular and cellular biology and economics from the University of Arizona in 2008. He attended the University of Arizona's College of Medicine from 2009 to 2015 when he earned his MD. Along the way, in addition to earning several awards, he also worked for a technology investment and management company and in 2011 founded Picmonic, which he and his partners grew from 2 to 30 full-time staff members and in the process raised over $2.5 million in funding. At the time that I'm recording this, over 100,000 students have used Picmonic. Adele, thanks for joining me on Admissions Straight Talk.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you for coming. To start with, what is Picmonic?
Well, that's a great question. You want the elevator pitch or you want sort of the storytelling?
Well, let's start with the elevator pitch and then I'll ask for the story.
Great. So Picmonic, we are a education technology startup and we offer audiovisual online learning system that essentially have a subscription to help students learn and retain information better and do perform better on their exam using our storytelling and audiovisual tool sets.
Okay, and now the story. How did you come to found Picmonic? I mean, what is the story behind Picmonic?
Well, to properly tell the story, I'm going to have to bring you back to medical school when my co-founder and I were attending medical school together at the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about med school, it's one of those very frightening experiences where you just have so much to learn and so little time to do so. Yeah. So what we struggled with was not just getting things done, but retaining the information and studying efficiently. And we were frustrated with the outdated methods of highlighting books or creating your own flashcards and just repeating the information over and over again. One of the most frustrating things I felt was that I'd study for an exam, and after the exam, I'd forget most of what I studied. And I knew that being a doctor, I couldn't do that. So we decided to take a more creative approach, and my co-founder Ron and I, we used to study together. And one of the approaches we took was we came up with stories and pictures that go along with every disease, medication, bugs that we were studying. And those pictures and stories were so memorable that they imprinted in our memories and our heads that when we actually took the exam, we scored a lot higher, we did a lot better, and we retained the knowledge a lot longer. And this methodology that we call Picmonic, which really stands for picture mnemonic, came out of this creative exercise. And next thing we knew, students started joining us in creating these Picmonics, and we started sharing it. Very organically grew out of our medical school, and now we have over 65,000 medical students around the world that have utilized our platform.
Did you ever read the book Moonwalking with Einstein?
Oh, yes, I did. It's a great book.
And it seems to me like you're employing a lot of the principles discussed there.
Oh, yeah, totally. The book captures, in essence, a lot of what we innately have the ability to remember a lot. And it's all about utilizing the right techniques. And a lot of that is, I think, Joshua Foer mentioned memory palaces and visual associations, which we use quite a bit, and we've been able to utilize technology software as a tool to empower that creativity.
Right. I mean, one of the main themes in the book was creating truly memorable palaces was the term they used, but basically memorable stories with as much imagery, sensory imagery, as you possibly could to remember whatever arcane facts they were trying to memorize in that particular book.
Now, amazing how well it works.
Yeah. Book was interesting, and certainly nothing against the writing or anything in the book. I guess I'm just not that innately interested that I read it, a friend recommended it to me, and I found it interesting. But for me, it wasn't a big wow. For you in your field, I could understand it as being almost a foundation of what you've done. I don't know if you read it before then or afterwards. When I started reading what you were doing, I thought immediately of that book.
We actually read the book after we had already developed Picmonic, but I guess in that context, it resonated with us because here we are making stories and pictures for medical students that they were using to study, and here comes an author that talks about, you know, using the similar techniques for memory competitions, and we said, wow, look how cool that is.
And he also was saying that the techniques go back to the Greeks.
Oh, yeah, thousands of years ago.
Now, let's say there is a pre-med student out there named Pat. Pat is struggling with MCAT prep. Pat's grades are so-so, and practice exams for the MCAT are predicting a less than desirable score. How can Picmonic help Pat?
Pat can go to picmonic.com.
Mm-hmm.
He can sign up for a free account, and he can explore, you know, the various pre-med and MCAT biology picmonics or topics that can help him study and remember those topics better in a more creative, fun, and effective way. And the process is fairly simple. We make the onboarding process very, very simple. So any student can pretty much go to our website and sign up. And when they find the right topics, they have the option to subscribe for, say, a month or two while they're studying to use Picmonic in a complementary way to what they're currently studying.
Okay. Now, is Picmonic intended to replace or to supplement an MCAT prep course? It sounds from what you're saying like it's really intended to supplement.
That's an interesting point, is that when we started Picmonic, we really developed it as a complementary or supplementary study tool. The reason for that is, as you can imagine, not everything you're learning you'd necessarily want to create Picmonics for. Basic conceptual understanding of a topic that it's still very important to listen to the lecture and understand the pathophysiology, for example, of a certain disease mechanism. But beyond that, what students struggle with are some of the minute and detailed facts. Mm-hmm. So that's where Picmonic really shine, is how can I really put some of these terminologies into my permanent memory bank.
Okay. So it's basically meant as a supplement, right? At least at this point.
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have any intention to go into MCAT prep or some of the step exam preps with this technique? Or?
Oh, yeah, certainly. We actually currently have a product in the market that helps medical students, first and second year, and third year, really, because we started developing Picmonic topics that are relevant to that. And they can use Picmonics. A lot of students use Picmonics for their step to board prep. And then for pre-med, we actually have an MCAT biology Picmonic set that students can use at the moment. And we're going to be expanding that into kind of the pre-med college courses.
Okay. Now, at the moment, how does Pat, our stereotypical student, does Pat come to Picmonics and just look up things that he or she is struggling with? Or is Picmonic more course-like? You mentioned it as a learning system.
There are several ways for people to explore and find topics that they need. On the most basic level, once they sign into our system, they can do it via directly online, via web browser or an iPhone app. Mm-hmm. And there's a search bar, similar to Google. Mm-hmm. How a student is struggling with one particular topic, they can type it in to the search field and find the topic they're looking for. Vice versa, if they're really exploring and want to complement Picmonic to what they're currently studying on a curricular basis, there are several ways for students to do so. There's a filter function within our app where the students can say, well, I'm a medical student studying neuropathology, and they can find all the content relevant to neuropathology. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, kind of my favorite way of finding topics that are relevant to students we have a function called playlist. So it's, we try to create a very social environment for our users. So as a medical student at the University of Arizona, I can actually create a playlist based on the topics that Picmonic currently offers for, let's say, my first year of coursework. And then I can share that playlist with my school or students from that school. So that's a great way to find topics that are relevant for PAT.
Now, is there groups for, let's say, different schools or different classes? Or what is the social element in Picmonic? I know you describe yourself as a visual learning community. What is the community aspect of it?
Yeah, and that is a great question. You know, that's probably one of our most important goals, which is not just to provide stories and pictures, but to provide a tool set that allow creative individuals to be able to express and share and learn together. Mm-hmm. So currently at the moment, all of our users can communicate with each other via discussion boards that are essentially tied to every single topic. Mm-hmm. They can also, like I said, share certain playlists with one another. There's also, in general, a school page. So let's say the University of Arizona would have a University of Arizona page, and all the students that are from that school will have access to that group and be able to share relevant material in that group.
So for specific classes, then, specific professors, yes. Specific classes. Got it. That sounds really good. On the website, I read that, on the Picmonic website, I read that there is a 331% improvement in long-term retention with Picmonic and a 50-cent improvement in exam performance. And the language was that research shows this kind of improvement. What research are you referring to?
Being nerdy med students, right? We were all about evidence-based education. That's what we were taught in school. It has to be evidence-based, research-driven. Mm-hmm. So we conducted quite a bit of research early on. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the one that you're quoting is an IRB-approved, it's actually a randomized controlled research study.
Okay.
And we published that in a peer-reviewed journal, which is really important to us to get that level of validation. And in fact, if you're curious, you can go to PubMed, which is a very popular publication searching platform to find our study.
Now, okay, maybe you know what? If you can send me a link to that, I'll include it in the show notes.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, so that, you know, the show notes will be info.accepta.com/116. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. So you were talking about the research.
Yeah, in that particular study you're quoting, we had partnered with the medical school in Arizona, mm-hmm. And took their entire class of students and randomized them into a group that utilized Picmonic and a group that did not. Uh-huh. And the group that, and they both were given the same amount of time to study and the same material, but obviously the control group just had the traditional PowerPoint-based, very text-heavy lecture notes, whereas the Picmonic group got Picmonic as a complement to what they were currently learning. And after 1 month, we tested them on both memory retention based on some paired matching and free recall exercises that were commonly used in memory research. And then we also looked at a simulated board exam questions. Uh-huh. And we found that the students who utilized Picmonic a month before had 331% improvement in their ability, in their recall of the information that they studied. And they also did about 50% better on board simulated exams.
Wow, that's impressive. That's impressive. So that's kind of the research end. Do you have a particular client story that you're especially proud of? The student who perhaps was struggling? And
That honestly is what keeps us going on a daily basis. We have a lot of students where we keep a pretty open communication with our advocates, our early adopters, and students who are excited to help us succeed. And nothing makes us more proud than to have students reach out to us and say how much, you know, they loved using the system, how we saved their career, or that we, you know, helped them pass the exam that they never thought that they were going to pass. And in general, you know, all of our users, we sort of have this cult following, and they really, really love having Picmonic as sort of a companion throughout medical school.
But is it, I don't know, maybe you don't want to say, but is there any particular story that comes to mind?
Well, you know, it's funny. I literally just got a text today from a student who was not the best student in his class. I think we got to know each other because he reached out to me last year and had really struggled with some of his courses, and he heard about me through, obviously, some of the forums, etc. So he took the courage, reached out, and I introduced him to Picmonic and shared with him essentially how to utilize that tool set. And I got a text today, literally today, and he just scored a 250 on his board exam, which is like in the 90th percentile. So he's really turned his career around, and I'm really proud of that.
So he's an evangelist now.
You could say that.
and he's going to be a doctor too.
Right.
Yeah, which is what really counts. Let's change focus a little here and talk for a minute about your distinctive path. Just looking at your LinkedIn profile, it seems like you have several interests: medicine, education, business, and even triathlons. How have you juggled all these interests given the demands of medical school? Not to mention the demands of founding and running your own business.
The short answer is I'm crazy. The obvious answer, you know, good time management, discipline, and being very efficient at things that you have to get done. The truth is, when I'm genuinely passionate about some of these activities and having so much fun doing them, it doesn't actually really feel like a lot of work or stress. My interest in business actually came first. After I graduated from college, I worked for a venture capital firm that invests in early stage medical device and biotech companies. And that's when I really got bit by that entrepreneurial bug. I wanted to be a founder of a company. But I became interested in medicine because I wanted to specialize, you know, in the healthcare industry. I thought that if you combine entrepreneurship with a field like healthcare where you can really make a difference, you know, I thought there was a lot of power there. So I decided to go to medical school. And somewhere along the line in medical school, you know, Picmonic came about because of my own struggles with learning so much information. And I thought it was a right time to try to start a company. And I had enough, I guess, experience, and I was crazy enough to take the leap. And it happened.
It sure did. Mm-hmm. What are your plans now? You've just graduated medical school. Congratulations. Are you planning to do residency, or are you going to devote your time now to Picmonic? Are you going to go for an MBA? I mean, I don't know. What are you going to do?
all great options. I've definitely taken a different path than most of my peers, as you can imagine. I would say 99% of medical students end up doing residency and going down that pathway. And I'm still very, very interested in doing residency, although part of the calling right now is for me to really devote my energy, my focus, my time to building Picmonic and to really take that to the next level. Mm-hmm. Now, after Picmonic, I think, you know, I'd love to be able to do residency so that I have the skill set requires to practice. But I don't think I'll ever actually full-time practice. I think I've been too excited about learning and actually seeing the fruition of my idea that I'd want to do that again. So I think I'm going to be building more companies in the future.
Kind of serial entrepreneurship for you, huh?
I'm an amateur right now, so hopefully we can get to that level.
All right. Well, you sound like you got a good foundation there, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Are you glad you went to medical school, given the turn that your career has taken?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many things, not just, you know, learning about medicine. I've always been curious. I have a curious mind, want to know how things work, how the body works, and the knowledge itself made it worth it already. And beyond that, seeing the system, the various issues, I think for an entrepreneur, one of the most exciting things is to be in an environment where there are a lot of problems to solve. And I think healthcare is a perfect example of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then lastly, the connections. I mean, the friends that I've made through 4 years of medical school or in the future going to be leaders in the industry that I'm interested in. I think that network is going to serve me and provide really great opportunities in the future.
Right. My husband and I had over a few months ago, a gentleman who'd been a doctor, and somehow he got in, I don't remember how exactly, but he got into medical devices. He was a cardiologist. So he'd done medical school, residency, you know, specialization, and he didn't, you know, he was practicing medicine. He was happy as a practicing physician, but then an opportunity came along for him to working also for some kind of investment company, venture capital firm, where he would, I guess, be the medical side of it. You know, you know, checking out the medical soundness of whatever devices and ideas were brought to the company. And he just loved it.
It is a lot of fun.
He just loved it. And then a few years later, that became full-time for him.
I mean, well, I guess,
just somebody we met socially. It had nothing to do with my work at all.
But it definitely goes to show how having an MD could be very multifaceted. It could provide a lot of opportunities. So I'm very grateful for it.
What's the question you wish I would have asked you in this interview?
Well, I mean, you've done a pretty great job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would say maybe, you know, like what is the vision? Because a lot of people ask me, you know, what's your vision for Picmonic? Or what is
Picmonic? I like that. I like that question. What is your vision for Picmonic? Where do you go from here with Picmonic?
You know, and it's funny, I just asked you to ask me that question, but, you know, it's a tough question to answer. But honestly,
probably why it's on your mind.
You know, the answer that I've found myself giving to people is that a mentor once told me a vision is something that you can see, that you can foresee, you can form a picture in your head. And that's why it's different than a statement or perhaps a goal. And what I envision Picmonic doing, hopefully down farther into the future, is that any student or any learner who is struggling with a particular topic or having trouble retaining the knowledge can go to Picmonic's website or app and actually find a Picmonic that is either created by a friend, created by us, you know, as a professional Picmonic creator entity, or by perhaps a publisher, and that there's going to be a Picmonic topic to help them get through that difficult topic. And I think what that means essentially is we want to create Picmonics for everything. And how we get there, that's going to be what we focus on in the next couple of years. But I think that's the vision for Picmonic.
That's a wonderful vision. So you'd have Picmonics for math, Picmonics for science, Picmonics for accounting, for whatever, right?
Yep, that's the goal. And we want to be that community where people come to not just use Picmonics, but to help us create Picmonics.
That was going to be the second part, I think, of the vision was also the ability to create these kinds of stories, the memorable stories. I mean, that's what I was picking up. Is it currently possible for users to create Picmonics in the medical spheres?
No, I'm going to tease the audience a little bit, but basically that is one thing that we're currently working on and will be coming out hopefully later this year.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Adil, thank you so much for a really delightful interview. Where can listeners learn more about your work, specifically about Picmonics?
Oh, a great place is obviously our website, picmonic.com. But they can also generally just go to Google and search Picmonic, and we have lots of articles that have been written about us that could be helpful.
Do you have a YouTube channel, or is it all on the site?
Oh, we definitely have a YouTube channel. So you can go to YouTube and just search Picmonic, and we have tons of testimonials, examples, explanations for how to use the software, etc.
Sounds good. Adil, thank you again. Listeners, thank you too for joining us for our 116th episode. I'm going to include links to the resources that Adil just mentioned at info.accept.com/116. I also have a favor to ask of you listeners. If you found this show helpful, could you please leave your feedback on iTunes? It helps us to get ranked more highly if there are more reviews, especially when they are shiny 5-star reviews. And if you're not yet a subscriber, please subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.